If you don't know glyphosate, you should know it's sprayed on farm fields across the country.
Especially in Midwest, where our cropping system is corn and soybean.
Amit Jala is a weed scientist at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln. He says almost all the corn and soybeans grown here are genetically modified to resist glyphosate, so it only kills the weeds. There's also resistant alfalfa, sugar beets, and cotton.
So yeah, that's true. Right now, glyphosate is number one herbicide in Nebraska and also in several other states in the Midwest.
Glyphosate is not just in farm fields, though. It's in my garage. People use it on their lawns and gardens. I got this little spray bottle of Roundup at the garden store to take care of crabgrass in my flower beds, dandelions in the driveway, things like that. Glyphosate is like any pesticide. You don't let the kids handle it, you don't drink it. No one argues with that. The question is, if you use it according to the label, can it cause cancer? Recently, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency tackled that very question.
And they came to the conclusion that they have, again and again, that glyphosate should be classified as not likely to be a carcinogen to humans.
That's Donna Farmer, a toxicologist with Monsanto, the company that discovered glyphosate as a herbicide in the 1970s. Clearly, Farmer has an interest here, but she's right. The EPA reviewed dozens of glyphosate studies and decided that it is not likely to cause cancer at the doses most people probably experience.
And they are consistently coming out with the same findings that the Canadian government did, the European Union did, the Japan government did.
New Zealand and Australia too, she says. Regulators from the U.S. and all those other countries agree glyphosate is not likely to cause cancer. But last year, another group of scientists reached a different conclusion. IARC, the International Agency for Research on Cancer, called glyphosate a probable carcinogen. Aaron Blair is the epidemiologist who chaired the IARC panel, which is part of the World Health Organization. Blair calls the difference between IARC and EPA a contradiction in flavor.
Not likely to be a carcinogen means, of course, we think this is not likely to be a carcinogen. But, well, you know, maybe. So both of those evaluations, the EPA and the IARC, have an element of probability in them.
But why are they so far apart? It's largely a difference in design. IARC simply wants to know if cancer is possible, even at very high experimental doses. The EPA puts more emphasis on studies that evaluate the risk in real-world situations. That makes a difference. Also, IARC only looks at studies published in scientific journals. The idea is to avoid conflicts of interest. But Donna Farmer says it leaves out industry research conducted by Monsanto according to EPA guidelines.
All of the other agencies looked at all of the data. And again, I will tell you, IARC, in my opinion, by the way that they evaluated the data, created a hazard that no one else has identified.
IARC has given cancer ratings that raise eyebrows. The insecticide malathion is a probable carcinogen, like glyphosate, but so are red meat and wood smoke and hot drinks. Aaron Blair from the IARC Review says the point is to show scientists and regulators where more research is needed.
You'd like to have a very clear determination the minute you look at things, but that rarely happens.
The EPA does want more research on glyphosate, particularly on different formulations, that is, different chemicals mixed in to make the herbicide more effective. They want to know if the combination has an effect that the chemicals don't have on their own. Aaron Blair says the riskiest exposure to glyphosate comes when people spray the chemical and get it on their skin. So simple precautions like wearing gloves and goggles and cleaning up are worthwhile, whether or not it's likely to cause cancer. Grant Gerlach, Harvest Public Media.